Hey, hey, welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. So glad to have you with us today. You can learn more on our website, fairmountfriends.church, or find our church app on Tithely. Let's go.
Well, hey, as we dive in today, what I don't want you to hear, start with a negative, right? What I don't want you to hear is that we're just trying to avoid being the past you. And what I don't want you to hear is that what we instead want to do is jump on the treadmill of what might be the future you. Because as we can get lost in, oh, well, I got to be that ideal dude, or I want to be that perfect lady, whatever that means in your mind, whatever picture that looks like, the goal isn't, as Jesus puts it, or as God would put it, that you would become just an avoiding what was the past, that I'm going to do a little bit different life. But it's also not to become this, like, I can never become what I'm supposed to be, and I'm always on this treadmill of I'm trying, and I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm saying yes, and I'm trying to do all the things that God would have me say yes to, and we're just tired, and we're just worn out, and I just don't have what it takes. But I don't want you to hear those things. What I do want you to hear is that I found my kids playing in the dirt this week, and that was fun. Jessica and I were in the garden, and we were doing some weeding, and the kids tend to be always around us, which is a joy, and so they were over in our dog's pen. They had closed themselves in, and there's a corner of the pen where Lucy likes to dig and get to a little bit of the soil. It's a little bit cooler, even though we've got a shaded area for her. She's got to get that cooler soil, and so it's dried enough that it's like this powdery substance that the kids were having fun just playing as if they were at the beach. They were just covering their feet in all this dirt. I found out later, because it became bath night, I found out later that Warren had taken dirt and done this right on top of his head, because I was holding him. I'm like, what's in your hair? Kaylin, did you put dirt on Warren's head? Nope, he did that himself. Okay. Kaylin, I don't think, has figured out how to lie yet. So he probably did it to himself. So to know that I share that story, one, is a little bit of a fun, but also as an indication of we want to remember some moments. And maybe that Memorial Day weekend, while it's a reminder of what has been, to know that it's also honoring to continue onward in to honor those who have given their lives. So Memorial Day, the day we pause to remember and to honor those who have died in service to the nation. And so we are here, we are gathered because of sacrifice. We are here because of people who fought. And even this morning, I had somebody approach me and say, hey, you know, even as coming out of men's group and even coming into Memorial Day weekend, like, aren't Quakers pacifist? Aren't they ones who are all about peace? And it's hard to even then use the language of fighting and fought and conflict. But to know that we're a conglomeration of people with all sorts of experiences, all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of thoughts related to that, and how do we do those things in unity? How do we do that together? And to know that people fought for us to be here, and some people fought with a pen. Some people fought with supplies. Some people fought with their tongue, and some people, not some, many, fought with their lives. And we all lead separate lives, right? We all each come in here, we're an individual. We've got newborn individuals, we've got elder individuals, we've got all sorts of the gamut, right, of individuals here. And we all have moments of interaction. This moment here is a moment of interaction. The moment at the ball diamond is a moment of interaction, right? We can list out all the different interactions we have, the connections we make, or even the ones that we avoid when we're at the grocery store, right? To know that we have moments of interaction. And we all are here because someone in our life gave their life. Somebody in your family, somebody in your life, whether you knew them or not, we are all here because someone gave their life. We live because others have died. And if you look throughout human history, this is true. Someone lives because someone dies. Look at the empires, and they were built upon the backs of those that they built upon. Or you look at just looking at wars, and you look at the interactions, or you look at situations where someone is living because someone is dying. And Jesus was similar to this. But as we continue to know and believe as we follow Jesus, that Jesus was uniquely different. And Jesus died so that everyone might live. Pastor Brock and I have been fortunate to do a number of memorial services through our time serving here in the community. And so often those can be a painful time. And I would venture to guess all of you have been connected to a funeral in some way at some point. And funerals can be that space and that time where we get really serious about what matters. What really means something to us. It really brings up or stirs up those memories that really speak to who that person was and how I'm going to now live. Ecclesiastes 7:2, you've heard this one before probably, but it says, it's better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies, so the living should take this to heart. And so it's a tough reminder that this thing, this precious, valuable life that we have, ready or not, it's going to end. So therefore, might it be that we approach it as be ready? Might we live life prepared? I did Cub Scouts as a boy and got in a little bit late, so I didn't get to do the very basic level, but I got to do a wolf level, and I don't remember the next one, and then I was a Weeblo for a couple of years. And there's a phrase within Cub Scouts, at least, and I never qualified or graduated into being a Boy Scout. So if you need me to start a fire, I'll need some extra tools, like fuel. Just ask the junior hires this last Tuesday. We had quite the time. But be prepared means you are always in a state of readiness in mind and body to do your duty, as Robert Baden Powell says. And so to ask this question, it's a question that you've probably heard before, even have asked yourself before. But it's not meant to be a weighty, heavy question. It's meant to be a what if question. The question is, if you knew how many days you had left, would you live those days any differently? If you knew how many days you had left, would you live those days differently? So let's just say you got 90 days left. There's a lot to happen in 90 days. We better get to it, right? And yet it's interesting that we need that reminder, we need that knowledge of the specific dates to cause some urgency within us to live. Might it be that because we know that life is precious, life could move on at any moment, ought we to live in such a way that we don't let the moment pass? And so often the Lord is at work in these moments. It's just whether we're allowing him to move within us. Scripture tells us that the Spirit is subject to the person. And so what are we going to do with that? It also says that the God will shine his face upon those who turn to him. And so would we, in our moments of doubt or moments of fear or moments of pain or moments of joy and excitement, might we turn to God and say, God, I'm bringing this to you. And God, this is your thing. God, I don't even fully know what's going to come out of this, whether it's exciting or it's painful. But God, I want to bring it to you. Would we then live our days differently? Recently, my daughter, Kaylin, has, as we've gotten to warmer weather, we've gotten swings out and we've gotten to starting to move those underneath the trees. And as with many kids, my kids love to be outside. And so Kaylin, as much as she enjoys swinging, oftentimes she actually asks that we would spin her on her swing instead of push. And I can't bear to watch because I have a queasy stomach that drops at the side about anything. And I don't like that about myself, but what I do like is that my daughter loves it. And she'll put her hands out, her head back, her legs out, and I'm watching the whole time. Don't hit your leg on the tree, please. But we have it far enough away that she won't until she gets bigger and taller. But she spins and she spins and she spins. But we always need to help. And just this last week, she started figuring out how to spin it before she gets in, and then to get in quickly, and then lay down, and it spins and it spins and it spins, and I can't bear to watch. But she loves it. It's amazing. And that she lives, not knowing how many days she has left, but she lives just excited. and fun. And I'm going to try this thing, and I'm going to figure out, no, Dad, you're not doing it that way. This, it needs to spin two more times. Okay, I'm sorry. And so for her, she's figured out that she wants to live in a certain way, and that she's going to spin this thing until it hardly can spin any more. And then she hops on this thing and just goes for a ride. And so what might it look like for us to turn to the Lord and say, God, I don't even fully know what's happening, but now you're at work, you're doing something here, and I'm willing to hop on this swing, even if it's going to make my stomach queasy. Because if I was getting on that swing, one, it would probably break the branch, but two, it would probably cause me to feel woozy. And might it be that God wants to take you on a ride as we remember Memorial Day, and to remember that there's a way that we want to live, and there's a way that we could live. Again, going back to the beginning to say, it's not about avoiding the past you, and it's not about getting on the treadmill of trying to become the future you, but trying to be here and now. In Philippians 4, 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. To come before Him, to know that there are things that only happen in life because we've prayed, because we've petitioned. Another passage of Scripture talks about how we must fast in order for certain things to come to pass. That we can live not with fear of God, what are you going to do? And there's room for that. You can take that to Him. He can handle it. But to know that we can live life in such a way that we can live with gratefulness and thanksgiving and present them. Sometimes it's just waiting for us to ask. And maybe you've been asking and asking and asking, and it's not about the right words. It's not even necessarily about whether you've been praying it the right way or not. But it's just to believe that God is good. Do we actually believe that He is? And for those that do believe that, for those who have hearts committed to Jesus, we do have hope. We have a promise. In Revelation 21, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I was sitting at the park this week talking with someone, and beautiful day, wind was blowing through, and we were talking about, you know, whenever we get to heaven someday, what do I picture? Like, what do I think is going to happen? Like, what is that mental sketch that I would put before? And it was a helpful exercise, and it really helped stir some conversation. It wasn't something I had spent much time on before, but it was neat just to picture how, and what I pictured was, you know, the doors or the gates or whatever is, they open. And there's these, and this isn't based in any scripture, this is just a mental picture, so this is just Andrew speaking here. That we walk in, and there's a group of people that I'm with, and there's all these people in the hall, all these people who are just excited, and they're cheering, and they're just glad you're there, and they're glad to be together, and it's just an amazing setting, an amazing situation, and I'm probably feeling a little bit awkward, and not really sure what in the world's happening, but I know that I'm glad to be there. And to know that as I look ahead towards the end of the hallway, towards the end of that throne room, who's sitting on the throne but God and Jesus, and they've just got a big old smile on their face. A knowing smile. A happy smile. The smile of a father. Keeping in tune with Memorial Day and remembering those who have given their lives. While someone didn't live their life and die in the line of duty, they did submit their lives to serving others. And you may know a gentleman by the name of Richard E. Miller, Dick Miller, who gave his life to his family, to his community, to his church. And Richard lived 85 years, 7 months, and 18 days. Or to go even further, he lived 31,277 days. Or if we went even further, he lived 45,038,880 minutes. Or if we went one layer further, Dick lived 2,702,332,800 seconds. But who's counting, right? Well, we all should be counting. Why is this important? Why does it matter how many seconds Richard E. Dick Miller lived? Because the Bible tells us to count every day and to make every day count. Psalm 90, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so Dick lived moments in life, a life serving, working, worshiping, a life with bus stops and mowing, a life of babies and grandbabies, of spelling word tests, of ball games, of belts and ties. And Dick was particular with his fedora hat, his hugs and his kisses and his life. And so what might that teach us? To break that down, to really look at the numbers, maybe that's helpful for you. Or maybe it's just helpful to know that the concept of I'm just going to live a good life, well, it's made up of moments, and in these moments there's precious situations. What are we going to do with that? And so might it be that I could just change my life and I'm going to start being a plan maker. I'm going to move from just living, trying to figure it out. So I'm going to make plans. I'm going to figure out, okay, ahead from now, at lunch tomorrow, I'm going to plan ahead what I'm going to eat. Maybe. Or I'm going to be looking at what might happen a month from now and try to figure out, I'm going to put all the stuff in my calendar and I forgot to check it. I know I don't know what's happening. Or we may make plans and we're trying to figure out the businesses and we're trying to make plans for when it comes to our work and when it comes to family vacations, right? We make all these plans. But what does the Bible have to say about plans? And believe me, I'm a planner. My wife is a planner. Big time planners. Over planners. You might not want to go on vacation with us because we're over planners. I think we can adapt pretty well though. Jessica shook her head no. Okay. Proverbs 16, verse 9. It says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And so there's helpfulness in looking ahead. There's helpfulness in analyzing the data. There's helpfulness in figuring out what might be some strategic stewarding, well-thought-out, well-reasoned steps of what life might unfold as. And to not put all our stock in it, to not err towards, we have so many plans that we become so rigid that we're not able to move as the Lord would cause us to move. It's this interesting, intricate balance of I want to make plans to follow you, Lord, but I also want to be able to adapt and do whatever in this moment. How do I follow the Spirit? The Spirit's moving in me. I don't even really know how to even do that, but I have the sense that something's happening. God, how do we do all this? And says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And so there's a huge element of trust. And I think trust is an element that so many of us desire and so many of us don't have. Trust is major. I know it's somewhere an area that I struggle. We also have a passage that says in James 4:14, who are you to talk about tomorrow when all you've been given is today? Life is a vapor, it's here and then it's gone. So to not also just live in the moment and forget about everything and just play and just be. We have today. We have right now. It's here and then it's gone. So to speak that word, to not hold back that apology, to not hold on to that grudge, because in the end, grudges only hurt us. To exert trust, even if we know the person's probably not going to follow through, are we willing to put a pursuit of Jesus above our potential pain? No one knows how much time they get, and all of life is a gift. Some people get 85 years, and some people get 8. And you can ask me, why is that? And I don't know. Over the last week, my wife has been handling a lot related to our kiddos. It's been the last week of school, and so she's been excited to finish that up. Shout out to our teachers and staff who work in our community school district, and grateful for the work they do. This last Thursday, I was gone for a Main Street Fairmount meeting, so Jessica was handling the kiddos that night. It was bath night. And then the next night, I was heading off to a bachelor party, wedding weekend, something or other. Nobody knows what to call it, but it was a fun time up in Chicago. And so Jessica's handling the kiddos that Saturday, and not only does she just hang out with them, and that's maybe a space where at times we've wrestled with, do we do the thing? Do we say yes to that, going to that next thing, or do we stay home as a family? We really value home family time. So what are we going to do in this space? So Jessica said yes to traveling an hour and a half away to go down to my parents' house to help out with a family friend's bridal shower. Anybody amped up for that one? She then stays there late. They then drive back only for me to arrive at 2 a.m, for me to then get up and say hey to the kids, and then I had to take off because we got the blood drive going on here. And so I'm giving blood while she's at home handling the kids, and then I'm walking in here a little bit woozy trying to figure out how to do church. And then I go home, and actually before I even go home, we've got monthly meeting. And so Jessica's handling the kids once again, trying to figure out meals and trying to figure out strawberry preserve jam and jelly stuff that she's trying to work on. And so we do all of those things. Somewhere in there, she goes to the strawberry patch with the kids and family, and they just make a mess of their clothes with fresh strawberries, and it was amazing to get the pictures. Then Monday, we head off, and we go to the Unified Track Meet up at Indiana Wesleyan. And then Tuesday, amid all of this, I said, hey, amid all that we're doing, could I have the junior high track team over to our house so that we could have a cookout and play some games and do all this? And Jessica says, yeah, let's do it. Let's figure it out. Let's bring it on. And so we've got junior hires throwing cups of water on one another. We got junior hires slapping one another with tortillas. We got junior hires playing yard games, asking if they can ride the four-wheeler. And as much as I would want to say yes and watch that happen, I'm terrified of what that would turn into, so I say no. And the whole time while we're having a good time, I'm just watching Jessica. And I'm watching her continue to love. She's prepping food. She's feeding our kids. She's playing with the kids. She's cleaning up. She's just hosting well. And as much as maybe in years past, we might have said, I don't know, maybe we'll push it a week, just give ourselves a little more time to prep and to plan and figure out what it might turn into. Our spirits have just become more of this, yes, and let's figure it out. And let's make the plans. We got a little bit of time. Let's stay up a little bit later and talk it through and make the grocery order, and what might it turn into? I'm just grateful that we're figuring that out. And so to live a life that is one surrendered to how Jesus would have us live. And again, it's not a just avoid the past, and it's not just a try to become somebody and hope you'll be that someday, and to live in that stress and that anxiety of what in the world is happening. I can't even handle what's happening next. I don't even know what is next after church. But we can live a life where God heals us, a life where there's crying out, a life where we can be filled, where God causes us to live whole, a life where we live with no guilt, no shame, free and fully alive. And so might we let Richard, might we let Jessica, might we let Jesus be the teacher on this one, this thing, this life that we have, it does end. Therefore, let's be ready. So if there's something you're not sure if you're truly committed to, meaning following Jesus, meaning living life in such a way that you're able to be in the moment, but making plans and looking ahead and trying to become somebody new, to become the new you that God knew before he created you. Newness brings possibilities. And so in Exodus 24, there's a passage here I want to read through. We'll spend a couple moments on it, and then we will close with a unifying reading. The Lord said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And you are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him. Pause real quick. They had just left Egypt. They had just crossed the Red Sea. They had just crossed the space that God had parted the waters, and they walked across on dry lands all the way across this sea. And so this is then following those events. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice. Everything the Lord has said, we will do. everything the Lord has said we will do. That means we don't get to tear out any pages. Whether we like what the Bible says or not, how do we adapt and follow it? Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. They're presenting themselves before the Lord. They're saying, God, you value, you are worth more than these things. We're coming to you, Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he splashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people, and they responded, we will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So the Israelites, they walked across the dry land. They then, with Moses' leadership, made an altar connected to 12 stones, the 12 tribes. And they commemorated. They recognized what the God of Israel had just done. He had brought them out of slavery. Depending on who you read from, it's anywhere from hundreds of thousands to millions of Israelites have just departed Egypt. And now they're out in these seemingly wilderness area, and they're all commemorating. They pause and they thank God for what he has done and is going to do. And as they commemorate, they then make an agreement. They make a covenant with God, and it's one that they promptly break within about a month and a half. Anybody ever made a promise with somebody and then they broke it 40 days later? Not that you were counting. And so God continues to respond to the people with what they have done. We have this God who seems so angry in the Old Testament, but if you really look at what the people continue to do, his chosen people, his elect, the people that he has elevated above any other people in the world, and they continue to behave and act and respond in ways that he is justified in responding to. So after their punishment for breaking the covenant, after a series of back and forth between God and the people and Moses, they began to work to honor and remember and bring glory to God, to continue onward. And so with Memorial Day, one of the best things we can do when it comes to memory and reminding ourselves of those who have sacrificed everything for us to have a chance at something would be that we continue onward, and not just to forget, but to remember, to go back, to reflect, to be reminded again and again of what God has done and what God is doing and what he might do if we were to, as the Israelites say, everything the Lord has said, we will do. We will do everything the Lord has said, and we will obey. So to continue onward. My daughter will be 4 this summer, so she's going to be going to preschool in the fall, and I'm not ready for that yet. Every time I talk about it, it's cool but also weird that I get emotional about it, because every morning I've been there with her and I've done breakfast with her, and I get to remember that because it's not going to happen in the fall. I get the benefit of knowing what's going to come. There's going to be a life transition and a shift, and I'm not going to get to have my mornings with my girl. Unless I get up a little earlier, which we can maybe figure that out. But I'm still going to have my boy there, Warren, and we're still going to have some good times. But just to know that life's going to be different, and it's only going to speed up. And to know that perhaps there are realities in life you would rather do without. You'd rather avoid, you'd rather stay in this moment now. And maybe there's moments that you rather would wish you never had happen and wish you could move on from, wish they were gone. But perhaps if we faced them and even had to endure through them, might it be that we come out with glory and work for the kingdom of God, which is worth more than this moment, as valuable as this moment is. Goodness is ahead. And Kaylin going to preschool is going to be amazing. And it's going to be good. And I'm excited for it. And to know that we can remember what's been a good time. So if you've got a little one, or if you're going to have a little one, enjoy. If you have had a little one, remember back and enjoy those memories and let the tears fall if they come. Don't avoid the emotion of the moment to know that it means something. So what I want us to do, it'll be on the screen, is we started with an encouragement that we're going to worship, and we're going to worship together. We then sit down, and sometimes when we sit down, we can almost have a sense of like, all right, I'm going to lock in on what I'm doing with me and the Lord, whatever the person up front is saying. Occasionally, you might check the clock, and yes, the clock is back. If you were concerned about the clock is back and functioning. But we're going to unify with a reading of the 23rd Psalm, verses 1 through 6. So it'll be on the screen. Go ahead and throw that first one up there. And so what I encourage us to do is to go ahead and stand. And as you stand, if you're willing, would you grab a hand or put your hand on the shoulder of the person beside you? And if you're on the aisle, you could even reach across the aisle. But I encourage you to not take this moment and do it alone. We're going to read the 23rd Psalm, and it's a reminder of who the Lord is, what we will go through, and who He is with it. And might this be an encouragement to you? And sometimes I know the 23rd Psalm can have the sense of it's for kids, and it's a fun one to read or to recite at bedtime. But it's one that will carry you. And I know there's some weight that y'all are feeling that you can't seem to cast off or move on from. And maybe you don't want to move on from because it means that something is different now. But goodness is ahead. So 23rd Psalm, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Keep your hands there. Keep holding on. I'm going to pray to close. Jesus, as we have gathered here today, and now we're standing in Your presence, and God, we are unified with our holding of hands and our hands on shoulders, and God, that we are touching one another, that we are a body, and that we can be followers of You to be able to live free and fully alive. But God, not to view that as I got to keep going, I got to do the next thing, and I got to wear myself out, but God, that we want to submit and follow, that we want to be grounded in You, that we want to be able to move onward and to move through and to endure through some of the hardships and difficulties and pain of life. And as we're here on this Memorial Day weekend, God, that it is a time of celebration and recognition, and it is a painful reminder of those who have given their lives so that we might have ours. God, thank You for Jesus and that He died so that all of us may have a life here on earth, but even more than that, a life that is ahead with You. God, may we not get so locked in on that we've just been saved, but that we can live every moment here remembering and reminding ourselves, being reminded by others and telling others about You. God, that we are an active body, that we are involved in our community, and that we get to speak about how You have moved in us. We don't have to know all the scriptures and all the quotations, but we can know that we can speak into somebody, that we can encourage, that we can exhort, that we can cry out and support and encourage one another. We love You, Jesus. We're grateful that we get to be part of a church body. And all God's people said, amen.
Grateful you were with us today. Be sure to subscribe and rate us so other people can know about the podcast. Join us on a Sunday morning in Fairmount or find our live stream on YouTube, our website, fairmountfriends.church, or our church app on Tithely. See you soon.